So last week was my half birthday.
Happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all you get for that.
Just happy. Well, that's significant because my brother's birthday is my half birthday.
Oh, okay.
So he was in town. He lives in a city. Let's just say a city. Okay. Actually, I could say which city he lives. He lives in D.C.
Oh.
He moved to D.C. after he got out of the Navy. And I hung out with him on his birthday, my half birthday. I should let you know that it was my half birthday. It happened to be his birthday, mm-hmm. too, but it was my half birthday. It's very important to the story. It's not at all.
Okay.
But interestingly, he's a progressive, which is kind of a new thing in my family. Kind of an interesting thing, because the rest of my family, excluding me, have just like turned hard right. Like brain melting amounts of like Fox News, OAN, and Newsmax.
Oh hell yeah, we love that.
Which is so weird because my stepdad is like so well adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
Like speaks like a normal human being, but watches so much Hannity.
Ugh.
Like you would never.
A guy not known for his ability to speak like a normal human being, Sean Hannity.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's so weird. So my brother, when he was in the Navy, was asking me for like book recommendations, and I was like, I can't send you any books that I recommend.
Any book I send you is gonna get you kicked out of the Navy. Yeah.
But now I'm gonna send him because I know that he wouldn't like, even though he's an engineer, I know that he wouldn't like Das Kapital just because it's so fucking boring. But
yeah, mm-hmm. No, who likes that?
Sam actually, because Sam loves economics. So
all right,
yeah, fair play.
So I'm gonna send him my brother the manifesto and State and Rev, because it's like, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
But my brother's been giving me the tea about my family because he talks to my dad still. I don't talk to my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my dad, just like the rest of my family, has started going back to church. Now, we grew up Catholic, though, so I thought he was going back to Catholic church.
Oh, no.
And no, he's like a Protestant now.
Oh,
and
no,
like,
evangelical church.
Yeah, that's not great.
No. And so my dad is like telling my brother, you should start going back to church and reading the Bible, because, you know, a lot of things are happening in the world, and it's starting to look
the end times.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. Which,
not one of those.
Which, again, as a Catholic, we didn't do that. We didn't care about the end times.
Yeah, that's a very Protestant kind of brain disease.
We care.
Yeah,
we,
counting
right?
the fucking days.
You just walk into their house, and there's a coffee table book that has, like, it's a picture of, like, the Earth from space, and it has, like, a Chinese flag looming over it. And beneath
and
it, it has, like, an America flag.
Yeah.
An America flag and an Israeli flag,
yeah,
like, next to each other, and
yeah, as Catholics, we just cared about the day to day because we're like, well, you know what? Doesn't matter. We're not good enough for God anyway. We're going to hell. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's like
which is a great attitude to have. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best attitude is just let God sort it out. That's right. Mm-hmm. Just let that happen.
Yeah,
just God be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to make it to the next life without like being weighed down with this burden of having me just been a dick to everyone.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, take it easy.
Uh huh.
Chad,
I liked the Catholic perspective where it's like you're not saved by faith alone. You have to be a good person. Like you acts are the things that save you. But the Protestant thing is always like, no. Faith will save you because if you're faithful, you will act good. And it's like,
of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even Catholics
don't. How not considered?
Catholics don't even do that. But it's like, you know what? Whatever. I could at least follow that logic. It's like, you got to be a good person.
Right.
Anyway, my dad is like, you know, like with all the hurricanes and the fires and all this stuff happening in Haiti, you know,
it's definitely caused by God and not by climate change.
Well, yeah, my brother was like, well, don't you think that like humans might have had some hand in that? And he's like, no, like, I don't. And my brother's like,
obviously not. Stupid. Why would you think that?
Do you know how big the weather is? Do you know how big your hand would have to be to stir that pot?
So my brother is like,
have you ever thought about how big the weather is?
So my brother's like, no, like I could show you that like humans have that. Like I have data that I could show you. My dad's like, well, that's just your opinion. My brother is an engineer. Yeah. Like he's going, he is in school currently to get his master's in environmental science because he actually like, cares about the earth. And he's like, I got to try and do something.
Yeah.
So my brother, a scientist, is just like, well, you know, that's just your opinion, though. Like, literally every body, like every branch of science agrees that, no, climate change is human. It, like, even though I know my brother is an engineer, but
that's
I mean, that is the natural extension of the if you have faith, you will be good argument, mm-hmm. which is, well, if you believe in these data, then you will be a climate change understander.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I understand you did that, but like I have my own faith.
Which also the Pope, by the way, not to be so pro-Catholic here, but the Pope is like, no, we need to do some shit because this is like this is getting out of control. God told me no. You need to do something. Right.
Even the Pope was like,
God told me to clean our room.
God also told me we're much like the lobster.
It's funny, God has a Canadian accent, weirdly enough.
Yeah. Like a Canadian Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, God, exactly. God sounds like Kermit, yeah.
So that was enlightening to hear about my dad. My mom, though, I got straight from the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I got to spend some time with my mom, too, because of my brother's birthday. She was driving me home, and my mom, she keeps the politics down to a minimum because I know that she doesn't want me to grow to resent her, because I probably will. And, you know, like, I've said it before, families are complicated when it comes to politics because you don't want to hate your family, but it's hard to not when they're shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've been there.
I appreciate my mom keeping politics to a minimum. But she'll be like, you know, I'm just so happy for you to work in the school district because, you know, I'm going to be working in the school district that she works in because everything is like so liberal. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm really going to be okay with that, Mom, but okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but like me and your stepdad, we're different. Like he knows what to teach, but, you know, they're telling us to add all this stuff like CRT. Critical race theory, for those of you that don't know.
Of course.
And that's not what we know. That's not the way that he knows it. I'm like, well, Mom, have you ever really considered that, like, we have new information about how history was?
People study these things, yeah.
Or that we have, like, other stories from people who were living at the time that were not mm-hmm. white men. And she's like, but, you know, it's like, it's all the CRT and the, like my mom literally not, I'm almost verbatim saying what she said because it's like, there's no through line. She's like, I feel like a second class citizen because of the CRT and, you know, having to remember everyone's pronouns. And I was like, Mom, it's really not that hard to remember people's pronouns.
No, just wait till you hear about names because there's a bunch of different names.
Oh, God, they're coming up with new ones. You ever read a fantasy book? Your mom does not read fantasy books.
No, my mom doesn't read. I mean, the Bible. Burn. That's so 2006 atheist.
Move it to the fiction section, folks.
Uh-huh. And I tip my fedora. No, it's just like, ridiculous.
Did you ask your mom? Did you ask your mom if she knows what CRT is? Like, not what it stands for, but can she explain what it is and why it's turning her into a second class citizen?
I wanted to, but like I didn't want to push her. Also, by the way, my mom is like my mom is white for all intents and purposes. Like, you know, like I said, we're mixed race, but because of the way, like, you know, alleles work, she's white, even though she's like technically part not white. She's white. So, you know, she gets to sort of blend. And now with her new white last name, she really gets to blend in. So maybe that is what's made her a second class citizen, because she's now a white woman. You know, the truly oppressed people.
Yeah, I would say she's entered a truly oppressed class of people.
I mean,
they certainly act like it.
I mean, Charlie, that's what happened to you. You're now suddenly super oppressed as a white woman. But in
transiting, not so much. But like being a white woman, the oppression.
Yeah, the
axis by which it is hung. Yeah,
being trans was easy. I just went to the doctor and said I'd like to transition, and they said
one
sure.
Transition,
but then
please.
I transitioned from a normal dude to a white woman, which means that I'm shit on constantly.
Yeah.
Like every single time someone says Karen on the internet, my heart skips a beat. I'm going to have a heart attack before I'm fucking 40 if they keep this shit up.
And it has nothing to do with, you know, the complication, the complicated way that surgery is. It's fully just because of people online being racist towards white women.
Blancophobia, yeah.
I got a severe crotch infection after surgery that I had to go deal with because someone on the internet called me a Becky.
But to answer you, Charlie, no, I did not ask my mom what CRT is. And I wanted to, but I was just like, you know,
you're not going to get an answer.
I know I'm not going to get an answer. And I also don't want
to. Any answer you get is not going to be satisfying also.
I love the idea that, like, I'm a second class citizen because I have to remember people's pronouns. Like, that is a really, like, that's an honest mask off distillation of that side. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I respect how incredibly clear
that is.
Yeah,
because it's like, why do you think these people feel like it's necessary for you to learn their pronouns, huh? Mm-hmm. Why,
right.
Did you consider that?
Mm-hmm. It's just like, back in my day, I could just call anyone whatever I wanted and they had to take it. And now
mainly
they don't.
Slurs.
Mm-hmm. That is a lineage from people who are mad they can't say slurs anymore.
Well, and here's the thing. And I know this, what my brother and I came to the conclusion very easily. Like, as a family growing up, we didn't really watch, like, cable news. We had cable, but we didn't watch cable news. My parents did not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they were, you know, they voted for Gore. They voted for Kerry. Like, I know this because they were registered Democrats. They talked about it. They're like, well, and they explained it, you know, the Democrats are a little bit more for, you know, the little guy, as they would say. And I was like, all right. And now, in retrospect, I know better. But, you know, at the time, you know, as an 8-year-old,
as a comparison to the Republicans, sure. There's just sort of a, there's sort of like a downward cutoff on what the little guy means. Never mind below that, it gets equally fucked.
Yeah. But, you know, I can't answer for my dad. I think that's just because he's, like, you know, uneducated and, like, looking for answers. But my mom, when she married my stepdad grew up in he was literally, like, an all-American. He nearly qualified for the Olympics but didn't. So the sport that he was playing, he actually was part of the American team and toured the Eastern Bloc. And but the way that they do that with the Americans is they drive them through the worst parts where it's just, like, you know, abandoned cities. And it's like, you know, they literally do the opposite when they fly people into California for, like, for football teams. Like, they'll fly them around LAX and San Francisco and then drop them off in fucking, like, you know, Central California on a fucking farm. Like,
amazing.
Like, so they'll do the opposite. Whereas, like, you know, my stepdad didn't go to, like, Moscow or, you know, like, you know, all the, like, major cities where there's, like, of course they went.
He went to the Russia version of Waxahachie, Texas.
Yeah. You know, where, of course, like, because it wasn't, like, super communist, like, we know this in retrospect, like, things were falling apart. Of course, there are things that are going to fall through the cracks, like, especially in something that was, like, quickly adopting liberalism, like, you know, Soviet Russia was in the 80s. So he grew up with that mindset.
Are you
that,
saying,
like,
liberal capitalism lets people fall through the cracks?
You know what?
No.
So he grew up with he grew up with that in mind about, like, communism, and, you know, watched Fox News. And when my mom married him, that's what, like, literally it will be on Fox News, OAN, or Newsmax will be on the TV for no reason. No one's in the room.
Oh, yeah. It's just background noise.
And
yeah.
So I turn it off because
it's like Boomer ASMR.
I'm like, this doesn't need to be on. So when I'm over there, I'm like, because I hate when the TV is just on for no reason. Like, it's
my parents did the same shit. Yeah.
Like, it's just,
I don't understand people who do that. I've always hated that. Like, my family didn't do that, but I don't get that.
Right.
Like, I listen to podcasts constantly, but I'm listening to the podcast.
Right. I, like, I don't need it in the back. If I, like, I prefer quiet. Like, sometimes I'll listen to a podcast, but, like you said, Charlie, I'm actively listening. I don't need this shit in the background to, like, you know, brainwash me. So, but that's literally what happened. It's like, I could see it happen. It's like, my mom went from being someone who was, like, maybe a little, like, apolitical, like, center, and
the default, like, conservative,
maybe even center, because my mom, like, did have a literal come to Jesus moment when she voted for Kerry. She did say that she had to go to confession because Kerry was pro-abortion, and because we're Catholic, we couldn't, like, we were urged not to vote for.
It's pretty fucked up,
But my mom also was always very much like, you know, even though it's not my choice for what other women choose, like, they will have to discuss that with God on their own. So it made sense to her, as someone who, you know, I believe she had to have an abortion at some point in her life. It's like, she had to make that decision for herself. So it's like, she, you know, sought forgiveness from God for it. It's like, but, like, she couldn't have, she knew that she couldn't have that baby. Like, So it's like, you know, my mom had that in mind, but now she's like very much the opposite, where it's like, well, we can't have it. And then the mental gymnastics that my mom has to do with like literally my existence as a queer person. Like,
yeah,
because I'm not Miley Yiannopoulos. Like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, well, you know, faggots are the worst things ever. And it's OK if you ridicule us and take away all of our rights.
Rightly so. Rightly so.
Like, yeah. I can't do that. Like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're at your parents' house and they have Fox on and no one's in the TV room watching it, just turn it off. Just turn it off. It's like, save them the power bill. They're going to see that their power bill is going down anyway. It's like, fine, just do it.
Yeah, there you go.
So maybe you could avoid this sort of thing, and you don't have to maybe slowly grow to resent your family.
Yeah, pipe Psychic Dolphin Garage into, like, through their vents into their room softly at night. There, so maybe they wake up one day and they're just like, who is this Lennon fellow I suddenly realize I know?
And why do I have a boner when I think of feet?
Psychic Dolphin Garage.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode from the Psychic Dolphin Garage. I'm Dennis, he, they.
I'm Bo, he, him.
And I'm Charlie, she, her.
And that's it. That's all of us.
That's who we got.
Zach has still escaped the garage. It is Rumspringa. We do it in the fall. And Zach is experimenting with capitalism. So we will very likely see him back, because capitalism, as we know, is destructive to the heart and the mind. And he will return to put on the maid suit and the, you know, the cat ears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Zach was last seen wandering around the streets of Dallas, just with mob connections, overturning lemonade stands and setting up their own. Mm-hmm. Dark glasses. Listen, everything.
You know, a lot of us are very excited for the Many Saints in Newark. Some people take it farther than others, and that's fine.
All right. So we have a Taste of Texas story, but with a little bit of a twist. Uh-huh. You're not just getting Tex-Mex here. You're also getting a little bit of actual Mexican food, which is what you get in California. Mm-hmm. You know, someone the other day tried to... Oh, it's Kenzo Shibata, who tweeted that Chicago Mexican food is better than Mexican food. And I was like, well...
That's gotta
I was
be
like,
bait.
I was, like, yeah. I was like, you're just trying to get people mad. Also, everyone knows in the United States, if you're getting Mexican food, the best place is Los Angeles, and that is hands down.
Of course.
Tex-Mex is bad. San Franciscans will say that they have the best Mexican food, and to that I would just like laugh in their face, just like, and not stop laughing, because that's ridiculous. I've never had the opportunity to eat Chicago Mexican food, and I never will. After Kenzo tweeted that, I'm not going ever.
You're just avoiding, you're writing off the whole city at this point.
So fuck you, Kenzo. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. You're a great person. But we have a Taste of Texas story. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle by Hepler. Sorry, Lauren. As more Californians head to Texas,
How do the states really stack up?
Well,
yeah. Do we have a chart?
We do have a chart, but
perfect.
So the story opens up with a man by the name of Dan Dong. He's from San Francisco, I believe. And he had a YouTube channel and a Facebook group called, I'm sorry, I don't know how to speak any Vietnamese, Na Quam Mai.
Nhà cửa Mỹ.
Or American Homes.
American Homes.
In Vietnamese, with more than 33,000 people in the group to swap real estate listings. And a lot of these have been in Austin.
Woohoo!
You know, he said that it's a great city, it's a young city, it's growing to like have a lot of potential.
Yeah.
And this has kind of been a trend, and we've talked about it before, but Californians en masse are leaving California to go to Texas. And the co-author of this report, Mark Dugan, said, right now market forces are telling California, get your shit together. The exodus thing, I think it's a risk. So let's take a look at this chart. So life in California versus Texas. The Golden State leads on income and health outcomes, but more affordable Texas is seeing a population boom. So 2020 income was $71,000 on average, $71,000 in California, $55,000 in Texas. Now, sorry for dragging that number even farther down, California, because in 2020, I made a whopping $2,000 all year. So sorry for just really, really dragging that number down. Just like, I'm sure it was like 100K, but I just like plummeted that one.
Spiders George over here had to bring it down.
I don't think you make enough money for to count being in the chart. Like you just count as not in the labor force at this point.
Yeah. So
no income
in 2020. California saw 160,000 building permits in 2020, but Texas saw 224,000. This is building permits. Like
they're not
building
one. Oh, they're not nothing for people because like
It's like Tesla factories and like
Just big boxes for
skyscrapers that are like 90% empty, but at the very tippy top there's some oil company that you've never heard of yet also somehow controls an entire city.
Yeah, like. this is where California gets to brag because we have a bigger number here. homes over $500,000. 58% of homes in California cost over $500,000. I'm literally never going to buy a home.
Yeah,
I will have to inherit my stepdad's.
Colorado. Just grab it and walk right out.
Colorado, where I live, is very similar in terms of homes over $500,000. Like we're also just never going to own a home. The number's probably lower, but if you just said homes over say $350,000 or $400,000, it would be up there or higher. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Colorado is one of the last places that fucking Californians exodus to because y'all live in a fucking endless hellscape that just keeps churning impossible living conditions and constantly like y'all are still doing the frontier shit of like, we're going to find a way to cultivate economic conditions elsewhere that cause like the most exploitative and the poorest and then followed by some of the most exploitative will exodus to Colorado and then Texas. And I got to tell you, what happened here? Bad. Shouldn't have happened. What's going to happen in Texas? In 15 years, these numbers are going to look the same in Texas.
Well, so that's kind of something we touched on before we started recording was a popular meme here in Texas is that, oh, it's all those Californians coming here to turn the state blue. And it's like, buddy, what kind of Californians do you think are moving to Texas?
Yeah.
It's not like whatever like Modern Family ass like, you know, nebbish professional managerial class gay couple you're thinking of. It's like, you know, Johnny Tech Bro and his weird 500-page libertarian, manifesto I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Right. It's like some dude who fled communism because it couldn't be rich enough and then is literally like in California being like, well, that didn't work, so I'll just go to Texas and do it. And by didn't work, I mean, I only own five homes and I'm sure I could do better than that.
Five homes, but no slaves. So how good is he doing?
Do you know how many reactionary, like, Vietnamese people live just so near me? Like,
that's like, super fun.
Yeah, like these people who quote unquote like fled communist Vietnam because they were probably doing some like fucking Ponzi scheme with homes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like
landlording is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, because landlords exist in Vietnam and they do in Cuba, but they both have like really strict laws when it comes to how many homes you can own, and it's usually just about two because it's one for you and one that you rent out. And at least I know this in Cuba, like a lot of landlords got in trouble and many of them quote unquote fled because they kept trying to buy properties on the beach to sell to like to basically Airbnb out to Canadians.
Jeez. Which is really the end result of any housing or property added to the market. It's just like, yes, how can we immediately turn this into an Airbnb? No expectation of, you know, people actually living there long term. If you're there for more than like a week staycation, and staycation specifically, not vacation, like some sort of fucking poor person.
Yep. So let's see. Homelessness. California, again, wins out. This is per 100K residents. So for every 100,000 residents in California, 409 are homeless.
That's an extraordinary number.
Yeah, Jesus.
And 94 in Texas, which is wild. I mean, and we have around the same population. I believe California has about 10 million more people.
Mm-hmm.
But that should not equal, four times the amount of homelessness.
Yeah, I was going to say, talk about a number that in Texas will match within a decade. Like,
if everyone
leaves and goes to Texas, that's absolutely just going up.
Life expectancy is around the same. California beats out Texas by 3 years.
Thank God for Orange County, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. keeping you guys weighed down just a bit, at least.
The interesting thing is that, incarceration rate, Texas, you take the cake here. Every 100K.
Who would have guessed it that we love locking people in boxes?
Yeah, for every 100K.
Or cowboy justice.
640 people are incarcerated in California, which is a disgustingly high number.
That is a disgustingly high number.
But not as disgustingly high as Texas's 990 for every 100,000 people.
like if I remember correctly, 1,000 per 100,000 is like a good cutoff for like just per population, like the most carceral societies that have ever existed, I believe.
Right. I mean, that like, does seem like a bit.
Yes.
So basically, you could easily say that like for every 100,000 people, 1% of them are in jail,
mm-hmm.
or going to jail. Wow, that's mm-hmm. cool.
It's pretty whack, huh?
Great.
Let me see here. Oh, look. If I go to the Wikipedia page on list of countries by incarceration rate per 100,000, U.S. at the very top of the list. We're number one.
Yeah. By like just a really, really huge amount.
I'm sure.
Also, the rate per 100,000 on average for the U.S. according to the Wikipedia page is 639. So Texas, you are nearly doubling the rate of the average U.S. state.
Great.
Wow. Congrats. Yeah. So the article goes on to continue just saying like why Texans would leave, like a backlash of the COVID-19 protocols that Newsom had,
mm-hmm.
because they're conservatives. And like I said earlier, my mom wants to leave the state. She's, you know, because it's her right to be this way, and no one has to change it. No one gets to change that. It's my right, according to her.
Yeah.
My mom is Madeleine Kahn in the movie Clue.
And I mean, like, as you've proven, definitely white.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So my mom is going to be one of these statistics. It's going to be great. But the weird thing is, even though Texas incarcerates people at a 72% higher rate mm-hmm. than California, California spends about $230 more per resident on police than Texas. So the Texas Rangers are kind of cheap.
Yeah, they're operating. I mean, those horses are better than, you know, just having them walk everywhere in terms of
cost. So Colorado recently just passed a thing where they're like creating like a civilian snitch brigade where they're like, well, we don't want to like, I don't even know what it is. I don't remember what it's called, but it's basically just like, we don't want to have police enforcing the camping ban, quote unquote, in the city. So because we don't want any more goddamn PR incidents where like police are just like brutalizing a homeless encampment. And mm-hmm. so they've invented like the civilian enforcement or ordinance enforcement group or whatever, which is basically just a bunch of cops or former cops or whoever just wants to like go around
busybodies.
But yeah, they go around and they do it now. And so mm-hmm. like what I'm saying is I think Texas is probably far ahead of both Colorado and California in terms of just deputizing busybodies to just brutalize people. Mm-hmm. And that's why they can work on a shoestring
budget.
Hey,
asshole, it's your turn.
Oh, yeah. Californians would never bother. Like it's too get up and go. Just like I gotta be there.
Well, yeah, like, Californians need a manager to call the cops and then they take care mm-hmm. of it. In Texas, it's like I'm going out on the weekend to hunt people who look suspicious.
Yeah,
because I don't like them.
Drive around some neighborhood that I don't live in, looking at like people who are just walking.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if it has maybe anything to do with the fact that LAPD has literally a fleet of BMW i3 EVs that they've never used.
I don't know what that is, but I do know that's an expensive arrangement of letters.
Uh-huh. Well,
that's a lot of $5 words and even more $5 letters. It's exponential.
Yeah, I believe the BMW i3 EV was the car that BMW came out with to meet EPA regulations, because the way that the EPA grades a car company is not by each individual car and its like smog production, but as all the cars that the company has.
So he's made a shitload is what you're saying.
Yeah, because BMW was doing mm-hmm. so bad with their like with their smog output, they made this like this electric vehicle that looks super ugly and is incredibly expensive.
Oh, this does look ugly.
They're very ugly and they're incredibly expensive, but they get something crazy, like almost like 500 miles to a charge. Like it's not that, but they're ridiculous with their mileage
uh-huh.
on a full charge. Mm-hmm. Because and that like dr- just like how my my paycheck just drove down California's average, you know, this just drove down their average smog output to be like below the necessary for EPA regulations. Because again, the EPA does this like stupid thing where they judge all the cars that are in the current lineup and not each individual
car. Yeah, it's so fucking bonkers.
These cop cars, they don't even have a, they're two-door cop cars.
Wow.
It's so fucking
that
weird.
That sucks.
It's also funny you mentioned the EPA like pollution standards, because I bet you that's a primary reason why people are moving from to Texas from California, because like they actually put limits in California on like carbon credit trading, where like you know, a company is allowed to produce X amount, and then if they don't pollute, they're able to pollute that amount, and if they don't pollute that amount, they can sell that amount of pollution to other companies, which interestingly is one of the ways that Tesla made a bunch of money early on, is because they're making electric cars, they wound up with a bunch of leftover carbon credits. And yeah, and so like they're constantly thinking, should I move out of California or not move out of California, because like they make a shitload of money in California being able to sell those to people, because none of the cars pollute, and then they sell it to other companies who can then use that to just pollute, thus ensuring that every single goddamn electric car Tesla makes, aside from the fact that it will just murder you when you're not looking, like it fucking like every single one of those potential amounts of pollution that car would have put out was sold to another company who then polluted that amount.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I mean, people can also complain about like all the taxes and stuff that are in California. And we do tax at very high rates.
Yeah, which good, you know,
compared to other
companies. I mean, at least
there are actual like there are taxes, there are like wealth taxes and things like that actually
good.
Here they don't do much, but they do enough to make they do enough to make assholes kind of want to leave the state. Also, we do have like fairly decent, and I'm saying this with a very strange voice, labor rights in California.
Better than here. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
much.
Better than here.
I mean, I think California would be one of the only states that
has labor rights.
Has that not only has labor rights, but like we have paternity leave.
Cool.
Like legally, you could take take a month off for paternity leave.
Nice.
That's cool.
And
And now all these people from California are moving to Texas and basically just telling stories to Texans about how in California you just execute billionaires like your goddamn Xi Jinping. Oh,
they have gender conceal parties where they rip a newborn from their female mother's arms and just fucking duct tape over their genitals. Like, nope, you're not allowed to know. You gotta wait for the kid to tell you.
Yeah, they swaddle it in this big like this big iron diaper.
Yeah, the Iron Curtain.
Yeah,
Iron Curtain. Mm. Now that sounds like some California shit.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I wish legal weed.
Yeah, legal weed. I wish California was as communist as Texas likes to say.
Yeah.
I wish.
We don't want Texas to hear about the story about the gender concealed diapers, though, because they'll just start using them to stop pedophiles, and every child will just be in one.
Yeah.
Or pedophiles will be using them.
Yeah. All the above.
Well, yeah, they'll just be like, well, we have to confirm your gender. Mm. Please remove your underwear. Like, because Texas also has all those like weird like restrictions for like trans teenagers to like, you know, be on certain teams. Whereas in California, if you even like mentioned that, like the schools are just like, nope, we don't want to deal with the lawsuit. She says she's a girl. Let her play softball.
that's good.
Based.
Yes. I mean, baseball. Based. Yes.
Baseball.
Yes. this is one of the things that my mother complains about. It's like, well, you know, gender. It's like, mom, they're just like,
they're
none
kids.
Of these kids
who
are...
gives a shit?
Yeah. Like, the kids don't care.
No, it's a child sport. Like, I didn't care about fucking school sports when I was playing them. Don't be a fucking weirdo.
They're panicking over sex differences in prepubescent children.
Yeah.
When there aren't any.
Yep.
Also, like, are you trying that hard to make the kid peak in high school? Come on.
Yeah. I mean that is just California.
That's the truest oppression of all, is all of these shitty suburban conservatives who are like, high school was the best years of my life, and these kids are like, that's not healthy at all.
Yeah.
What about the rest of it? Yeah. The rest of
See,
it.
Maybe this is why we should have we should stop modern medicine and die at 30, because if you peaked at high school,
I don't want to die 2 years ago.
At like 30. Yeah, but like if you die at 30, like it's like, hey, no, that's a normal place to peak.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't make sense. No, I know you're doing a bit, but also like, no, we don't want to stop. We don't want to do that because those numbers were averages, not what everyone did. It just meant you either died at 5 or you died at 60. Like,
sorry, Charlie. Slogans run time.
No.
Uh-huh.
Do we? You get a fun little fucking charm bracelet in your hand that tells you when you when you're too old.
Yeah, and then
if you refer to yourself as an elder millennial, it's like, nope, straight to the churner.
So. Yeah, and then everyone fucking meat grinder. Everyone midsummers themselves off the top of Mount Rushmore.
That's the spirit.
Yeah,
at 30.
Also, if you say adulting,
you oh yeah, food baby, that's just a turd. Just call it a turd. Be an adult. Yeah,
food.
Just...
I was trying to figure out what the fuck you meant by that. Like, what the fuck is a food baby?
Like when you're stuffed full of
I don't like that. Mm-hmm. That's gross. That's it's either a Chipotle burrito or a turd, one of the two. It's not a fucking child.
Well, I mean, what's the difference?
Yep. Also, look, I'm not saying I can get pregnant, but I'm confident it feels different than being full constantly.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure that's different.
Yeah, pregnant people, let us know.
yeah.
Call in.
Yeah, is
we're
being
listening.
Pregnant just like having eaten 3 Chipotle burritos one after another and just sitting there like, oh, blah.
Chipotle.
And that's why you throw up every morning.
I too would throw up after 3, dare I say 1 Chipotle burrito.
Well, I'm sorry, Texas, that we are not sending our best. But
I'm sorry that
you're
not our best in general.
Yeah, but you're basically not sending us anyone, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Bo, you could move here.
I could. And
you know what? The rest of the Psychic Dolphin Garage
fucking,
in Texas,
I mean,
y'all
the,
could move
the journeyman
here.
Wages there are like twice what they are here, because again, like, we're a fucking right-to-work state. So
I mean, so are we, but it's a little bit harder to be like, to get fired for being gay in California.
I like the dystopian naming convention of right to work because it's very, it's kind of, but it's also like really honest, which is like, this
now
is what work.
Talk about Logan's Run, right?
But it's like, this is what work actually is. It is just you being exploited for the minimum possible that they can get away with giving you. And you have the right
to that. Right. That's a right. That's a noble fucking enlightenment era kind of thing to aspire to.
Yeah. You have the right to contract whatever the lowest possible wage you can fight for is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that reminds me. Prop 22 was turned over in California.
Nice.
Really? Wonderful.
A couple weeks or months ago.
So I heard so that. I was worried it was going to just be like held up in court again, though.
No, it's probably going to like keep fighting. And like, I just really, really hope that they figure it out here at this level.
It's going to go to the Supreme Court.
Oh, I just hope that they're like, it's not worth the money.
Just like, don't.
They're like, we can just not have Uber in Texas. It's fine. Or in California.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. I think you'll survive.
I mean, we had taxis. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what people are like worried about. Anyway, that's it for us and Texas.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Texas. So what else do we have in the docket that I put here?
We have teenage girls or Xi Jinping.
Let's do the Xi Jinping.
Okay.
First,
since we're already on that subject.
Yeah. Zach's not here. So we get to talk about crypto again.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So,
Based Daddy's Xi Jinping. We're not opening it like that.
I mean,
you already did.
Based Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ars Technica opened this article by saying that it was a domino effect because on Friday of this month, so the 24th of September, Xi Jinping, the president of China, banned all cryptocurrency transactions mining.
Awesome.
And China was the biggest market for cryptocurrency mining because of its cheap electricity costs and relatively cheap costs for technology, which means gamers...
When did they ban this?
On Friday.
Ooh, that was the day I received an email from Venmo saying I should put some money into crypto. I wonder.
Interesting. Well, gamers rejoice because you might finally be able to get your fucking graphics cards now because they're not all... They're not all just going to Americans moving to China to, you know, build crypto. It wasn't just Americans, but a lot of Americans were doing that.
Yep.
But they opened up this article saying it was a domino effect. And it's kind of a cool thing. Like, I don't know if they realized how based they were being, but it opened up with real estate represents almost a third of China's gross domestic product. And developers have borrowed heavily to ride the wave. But in recent years, the Chinese Communist Party has turned on the sector after President Xi Jinping said in 2017 that houses are for living in, not for speculation.
Correct.
Fuck yeah.
That is a correct take. Wow. God, can you imagine having a government that said that shit? Cool.
Yeah. Even if they don't do it, just say it.
Mm-hmm. But also, like, they have, like, a lot of extra housing because they're specifically just building housing to make sure that they always have enough housing for people. And, like, I don't exactly know how it all works there in terms of how people acquire housing and who owns what and what's owned by the state and what's not. But I will say, I don't know, speculation seems less menacing if you have, like, millions of unoccupied units that are ready for, like, the future.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the, like, dumb conceit that, like, a lot of capitalists will claim, oh, it's all voluntary. And it's like, well, no, obviously it's not, because the alternative is living under an overpass.
It's like, I do have to live somewhere.
If there is a huge extra supply of housing, cheaply available housing, then, I mean, you can kind of play that game of real estate, not entirely ethically, depending on how it's done, but more ethically than, hey, you know, one company is just buying up a whole shitload of stuff.
Yeah, I guess all I'm saying is, if you have millions of extra houses and you're saying you gotta crack down on speculation on housing, we can't have this shit anymore, we gotta get away from that and make sure that what we have let in gets curtailed, I'm just like, oh shit, that's like, I mean, like, they say that might not be motivated by ideology, but I think that sounds ideologically motivated at that point, because you could get away with it otherwise. Mm-hmm. Also, I love the Ars Technica framing of this, where it's just like, it may not be motivated by ideology, sort of insinuating that, like, speculation is not itself motivated entirely by ideology.
No, the market's apolitical. Come on, what are you talking about?
Of course, the market.
What are you talking about? Yeah, thanks, Tim DeShant, who wrote this article. So,
yeah, thank you, Tim DeShant.
More like Tim DeShit.
Whoa!
Ooh, whoa.
Got his ass.
So, the article's, like, surprisingly short. I like this closing of the article, though. The crypto crackdown in China is not just because crypto or Bitcoin mining has been drawing too much power, which it has been, or because it was commonly used in illicit transactions, which it was. Uh-huh. It's because the Chinese government likely recognized the risks posed by an over-leveraged real estate sector, and it's attempting to limit the fallout when the correction comes. Cryptocurrencies are simply caught in the crossfire.
Again, based.
Or it's because of the stuff that you mentioned, because they were drawing too much power and being used for illicit transactions.
Yeah, none of that's great.
Well, I think it's got to be all of these things, because it's like, yeah, if the Chinese government wants to restrict capital from just flowing outside of the country to other shitheads who like crypto, and on top of that, real estate speculators are using crypto to kind of launder some of this. What they're basically, what they're functionally doing is stopping a money laundering operation to, like, just get, like, capital from into and out of other countries. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, it's the thing Bitcoin was designed to do, which is sort of to be a non-state controlled currency stand-in, and they're using it as such, and every state that produces a currency is like, oh, this is literally a danger to just sort of not only the fucking planet and the power grid, but every single thing we don't want people to be doing in terms of speculating and purchasing and doing shit in our weird market economy that we have. Like, we this has to be stopped, or because that's one of the reasons I always hate on Bitcoin, is it's like, it's just like it's an accelerationist market economy thing, where it's like, you want a type of currency to exist outside of quote-unquote ideology, politics, human connection, culture, society.
Fucking,
like, you just
pickle Rick ass cryptocurrency.
Yeah, you want it to exist outside of all of these things, and it's weird how what actually people end up doing with it is just facilitating large capital transfers to benefit themselves, and that's all it's for.
I wanted to see what the Epoch Times said about cryptocurrency, because if you don't know, the Epoch Times is a blog paper by the cult that brings you Shen Yun.
Love
so
that.
You know, it's great. And they're very anti-China and very pro-Trump.
Talking about the Moonies.
Yeah. No. The Moonies are different.
Oh, no, they're the Washington Times.
The Moonies
Times.
Are Washington
Times.
Not Post. Times. Yeah. I just listened to the QAnon Anonymous on this.
Yeah.
Same. And they're
great podcast, by the way.
Yeah, God, phenomenal podcast.
They're South Korean.
That's right.
Shenyun is Chinese.
Right.
Different flavor of deranged anti-communist. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have to read this through the, because I had to inspect the page to read it. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry if I read it a little bit slowly. The People's Bank of China said in a translated statement by CNBC that services offering trading, order matching, token issuance, and derivatives for virtual currencies are strictly prohibited. Overseas crypto exchange providing services in mainland China are also illegal, the PBOC said. Overseas virtual cryptocurrency exchanges that use the internet to offer services to domestic residents is also considered illegal financial activity, the statement said. Workers of foreign crypto exchanges will also be investigated, it added. Nice. Cool. Cryptocurrencies include Bitcoin, Tether, blah, 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 blah. And they cannot be circulated according to the bank's statement, Bloomberg reports. Financial institutions and non-bank institutions cannot offer services to activities and operations related to virtual currencies. I want to get to the, like, did they say anything about it being like, and this is going to be the downfall of communism because they won't accept this, or like, this is communism's like strict
the contradictions control. Have been heightened for them too much and they will fall to capitalism.
Yeah. Now that's how that goes.
Now that rich people can't launder money in a way that is not tightly regulated and controlled.
Mm. They don't mention anything like that, but they also do mention the curbing of property industry.
Cool.
Which is great. And they mention Ukraine and El Salvador, who El Salvador has already adopted Bitcoin. Ukraine seems to be moving in that direction.
Yeah, how's that going for El Salvador, by the way?
People are protesting to the point where they're just like, they're literally destroying the ATMs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wait, really? That's so cool.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Also, mm-hmm. Guess who's number two in the incarceration rate per 100,000 after the U.S.?
Is it China?
No. China's way the fuck down there. China has like fewer people incarcerated than we do writ large, but has what appears to be a large number of people because their population is so large.
It's gigantic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
China is number 129.
Jesus Christ.
They have 121 per 100,000.
Wow. So number two, I don't know, like.
Come on. You just said it.
Oh, Ukraine?
No.
Oh, El Salvador.
It's El Salvador.
Holy shit.
Wow. Okay, cool. Not cool.
No, it's not cool at all.
Not cool, no.
No, China's 129, but then it has a little note at the bottom that says, like, but also it should be considered that they have re-education labor camps and all these other things that, like, we don't count.
We could use some of those.
Yeah, we could re-education labor.
That's the fucking take here.
I'm not going to have an opinion on that.
Well, no, here's the re-education through labor that I stand for, and this is 100% unironic. Basically, if you have ever yelled at a customer service person, it's fucking 10-hour shifts hard labor at Walmart.
Do you know what? I'm okay with
night
that.
Shift too. Mm. Me. Shoplifting.
Yeah. You have to like stop people from like stealing cough syrup.
Yeah, exactly. Your manager's like a 15-year-old
yeah.
who makes mm-hmm. twice what you make.
And is like a hot, high up party official.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They had a blue check mark before before things got better. And now
they're just
now
a,
this is what they do.
Yeah, they're a TikTok teen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and they're posting
getting told
videos.
That you're being wage thefted and there's nothing you can do about it, as they like fucking floss or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, sweaty.
That's I'm unironically in favor of people who have exploited people their entire lives having to do some labor. And I know that implicates pretty much every American in every single thing, but also like I feel like we can have a pretty reasonable like, okay, we're gonna deal with our own country here.
If you've ever qualified for like service industry night at a bar, like you don't have to worry about this.
What on earth is service industry night?
Yeah, all right, well, off to Walmart with you.
Hey.
No, service industry night is basically like, hey, if you're clearly like a waiter or you know a server or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does like fast food count or is it just restaurant stuff?
Yeah, probably. I mean, okay. If you go in and tell them like, hey, I just got off a fucking shift at Hardee's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I just don't ever go out to bars or drink in public.
Yeah. It's expensive.
It is. And I mean, heck, I barely drink at home at this point. Like, I'm too old for this shit.
It's also expensive.
Yeah.
I just steal alcohol from my friends.
There you go.
Cool. That's a good way
that's
to
what
go.
That's they call doing it socially, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. That's communism right there, is when you redistribute the liquor based on need.
Yeah. So, way to go, China.
Yeah.
Way to go on cracking down on the real estate industry and on crypto.
Yeah.
I mean, if China can crack down on crypto, that means the transaction numbers are just going to go way down. Like, people are not going to want to invest.
Yeah. No, that's going to be wonderful.
There is a very annoying, maybe the inverse of the TikTok teen we just described. There's a very annoying kid somewhere in China who played, or maybe, you know what, fucking like was like the biggest player on even some fucking gacha game that uses like cryptocurrency exclusively. And now that kid is just fucking, oh yeah, also they were into like real estate using their parents' money. And now they're just all fucked up over everything. And that's good. Because a terrible kind of fucking nerd to be.
Yeah, every single time anyone in China starts to become kind of American, they get kicked down again and be like, no, you stop that shit. And honestly,
we don't do that shit here.
In 99% of all cases of the behavior, that's probably the correct thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop thinking so capitalist.
Yeah.
Bro, stop posting cringe. You're going to lose social credit.
That's what happened to Danny DeVito when he supported the Nabisco. The Nabisco
strikes.
They're
like, hey, no, you're not. No free clout.
Guess what? You're not Danny DeVito anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They took away his checkmark.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Twitter said that it was a little glitch. It was a little mess up.
A very convenient little glitch. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And not because people who have checkmarks end up being in, you know, more their tweets end up more circulated around.
Toe the line check mark.
You know, had nothing to do with that.
Well, they haven't taken mine yet. I don't tweet enough though.
No, you don't.
I'm sorry. I tweet from the show account. Like,
that's
true. It's much more fun to tweet when you're anonymous.
Yeah.
Right.
When you're Dolphy, our mascot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have the suit in the closet every week. I go out on the street corner and I dance around in it to advertise the podcast.
You put that on to tweet. Like, you're not like posting selfies or anything. You're just wearing the suit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wearing the suit, typing the tweets out with each flipper one letter at a time.
Yeah. Well, you have to get into the mindset of Dolphin.
Yeah.
What would a dolphin tweet?
You might have to say attune to the psychic dolphin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. WWPDGD.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, it's.
Should we transition?
Yeah, we should.
Okay, so
if we're comfortable.
Ready for the next one? Speaking of a TikTok child absolutely screwing up the day for a member of the professional managerial class.
Mm-hmm. This comes from The Verge and Rafi Letzer. Thanks, Rafi.
Thanks, Rafi.
A teenager on TikTok disrupted thousands of scientific studies with a single video.
Cool.
So thousands of scientific studies had to toss out weeks of data because of a 56-second TikTok video by a teenager. The July 23rd video is short and simple. It opens up with recent Florida high school graduate and self-described, quote, teen author, Sarah Frank, sitting in her bedroom and smiling at the camera. Welcome to Side Hustles. I recommend trying. Part one, she says in the video, pointing users to the website prolific.co. Basically, it's a bunch of surveys for different amounts of money and different amounts of time. So what prolific.co is a service that universities will use to put up surveys to collect data.
Gather like behavioral data, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there are other services that do this. Amazon has one called the Mechanical Turk, which I don't like the
name of.
That's
a weird...
Mechanical...
That just feels like... That's the same kind of racism as, like, your great-grandpa who calls everything Oriental. It's like, yeah. It's not, like, coming from a place of hate. It just sounds real fucking old-fashioned.
Right. But also, it's just, like, the mechanical... That doesn't make any sense because the Mechanical Turk was, like, a fake machine.
Yeah.
It was a...
That's a perfect name for it because the whole point of Amazon Mechanical Turk was just, we're going to allow you to put menial tasks up and you're going to make humans do them for literally, like... portions of cents per item so that
there
like
you
work for like have either of you ever done Mechanical Turk?
No,
I have not.
Okay, I have, and I did it for like a day or two, like fucking like a decade ago when it first came, like when it was first a thing people were starting to notice, when like even when prices were higher and like you couldn't make minimum wage. It, like, you cannot physically work fast enough to make minimum wage. You would make the equivalent of like $1 or $2 an hour. And what they're preying on is the fact that like you might be able to make enough doing like piecework for fractions of a cent, just like organizing a spreadsheet or like fucking like transferring data from an image to another thing, or so just some sort of incredibly menial task where it's like, make sure to click these boxes, just test how this functions when you click them, and then report it. And like, you get paid nothing and you make like $1 or $2 an hour if you're lucky, and that's enough for some people to survive on incredibly poorly here and there while someone else works, and you wind up sort of trapped doing it because like you need the few bucks an hour in order to survive, because that's the amount that's like just barely keeping you over the edge of tumbling into the abyss. And
or you're like a fucking, you know, 13-year-old on TikTok and it's, hey, I can, you know, get some walking around money.
Yeah, I
could buy some V-Bucks with this.
Yeah, exactly. Head down to the malt shop for a soda pop and a fucking, you know. A
phosphate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the but kids are doing these
on
days.
On the other hand, though, like, even as a kid, I would not have been willing to work the amount of hours it took.
Not.
Like, even as, like, a 20-year-old or whatever I was the first time I checked it out, I was like, oh, fuck this. Like, this is so awful. Like, I would literally have to be starving to be willing to work for, like, you could basically, like, afford McDonald's meals for the day if you worked all day at this.
Yeah.
And that's all you're getting, you know? Like, it sucks. Like, well, maybe a little more than that, but not much. It's not much, and it's terrible. And maybe it's changed in a decade, but it's just, it's shit like that. So whenever someone, just all I'm saying is this TikToker who's saying, okay, one, side hustle, that should be a red flag for anyone watching anything. Yeah. Secondly, I found a site that pays you to take surveys. I've done that for actual money, but those are in-person focus group things that you just sort of find out about from someone you know who's doing it, and then you go do it, and you can make some okay money just like working the circuit on those. But
you know
that like new redesign on the beer cans for Sierra, what's the company, Sierra Nevada. Yeah, you know how they did the redesign on the cans like 6 years ago or 5 years ago or something?
Yeah
That was my fault. I did. Yeah, I did focus
I love
group
your work
for that.
Well, I also had, when I was working at the mall, I was stopped by someone to do a survey, to watch a short film.
Oh, no.
And do a survey afterwards. And,
which one?
Well, it doesn't matter. It never
that
came
out. That sounds like
they're
going to show you a video of them jacking off.
No, it was like a DreamWorks movie that never came out.
Oh,
it was
wow.
Like
a Shrek jacking off.
Yeah, it was Shrek jacking off. It was like some weird fairy movie.
In 3D?
Yeah.
Shrek 4, Boots in Puss.
So what was the aftermath of this? Well
Shrek had to grab some napkins and I'm so sorry.
Well, Rafi let us know that in the days and weeks after Frank posted her video, researchers scrambled to figure out what was happening to their studies. This is a tweet from Sebastian Derry, who is one of these researchers, analyzing N equals 300 prolific study. Very generic title and description. Survey questions almost about social comparisons and money. 91% of respondents are female, 7 are male. Don't think I've miscoded anything and no unusual survey restrictions. How does this happen? So a member of the Stanford Behavioral Laboratory posted in the Prolific Forum, we have noticed a huge leap in the number of participants on the platform in the US pool from 40K to 80K, which is great. However, now a lot of our studies have a gender skew where maybe 85% of the participants are women. Plus the age has been averaging around 21.
Kids these days, eh?
So they're trying to do studies where they're studying like a varied parity of ages and gender. And now they're just getting like, it's just like
TikTok,
85%
TikTok
of them.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah, it's just TikTok 20-year-olds.
Well, no, it's like these 21-year-olds want to go buy the redesigned Sierra Nevada.
Yeah.
Like they want like a couple bucks to be able to afford like a 6-pack.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Wayne State psychologist Hannah Schurter, sorry, Hannah, seems to have been the first person to crack the case. This may be far-fetched, she tweeted, but given the timing, virality of this video and the user's following demographics, ... she tweeted out a link to Frank's video. And sure enough, that's what it was.
Yeah, so it was the video got 4.1 million views in a month after it was posted. So, like, it was a big thing.
Yeah.
Like 4 million 20-year-old women saw this and said,
hell
maybe.
Yeah, time to go. Let's get to work, girls.
Let's go, girls. Well, this wasn't all for naught. A lot of this data is still usable, according to some of these scientists. And even though they, you know, have to go back a little bit, some of these have to. One of the things that was useful, according to Vlad Chitek, a Yale graduate student in psychology who was running several pilot studies at the time, said that a lot of people who take these psychological surveys kind of just guess what the surveyors want to hear. Or they,
have you heard of Pringles?
Mm-hmm. Like they'll fall into patterns. So they have to like weed that data out too. So by having a bunch of young women who probably easily got bored from this, much like, you know, Charlie did, like, you know, I would not.
No, I've done this stuff before. Like, it's hard. It's you know, I've been one of those people who take surveys online for money, and it's boring. But like, if you're getting paid like 20, 30 bucks for the survey, you can spend time on it. You're making more than minimum wage. They specifically note in this article that longstanding survey takers who are regularly doing this for some income are like, it's impossible to find paid surveys now because I used to check it every day. And now there's just, you know, 10,000 more people competing with me and I'm broke. And like, that sucks actually. But also like, this is not Mechanical Turk. This is like a science department that has some funding, which is probably a government grant, is paying people to take a thing, which is actually decent.
Yeah.
Mechanical Turk is Amazon facilitating some dipshit in like the UAE to get you to do spreadsheet entry for a
That's
penny.
Him. That's the Mechanical Turk.
So what Chittick said was that young women who enjoy TikTok are people too. So this did provide some psychological data, you know, for certain surveys. So worked out well. So Frank never thought that her video would really get that viral and that
they just posted.
It definitely didn't occur to me that the video would blow up. I just posted it for my friends and followers, not for it to reach it ending up getting. What? Not for the reach it ended up getting. There, oh, God. Yeah. That was both me not being able to read that, but also, what the fuck? Like, what did they teach you down in the South? Like, how to
construct sentences? You keep making fun of the South and, like, linguistics, but I'm like, this is a perfectly reasonable sentence. It's just...
It's pretty cromulent.
I just posted it for my friends and followers, not for the reach it ended up getting. You're not conceiving of the reach as the full object.
You're right.
Yeah.
You haven't considered the reach, you bitch.
But I think it blew up because the site is genuinely so cool and people love efficient ways to make money.
Yes.
Ew. That's a really like, I love the capitalist realism of it. Yeah. She's a marketing major.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like a lot of those sites are genuinely cool when there's like really cool, like, because especially if you get to learn a little bit about the research or something.
Well,
and it's like there's some fun to be had there sometimes. They are cool. And people do love efficient ways to make money because we don't
work from home.
Any.
Be your own boss.
Yeah.
Not only that, but like, Charlie, you're old enough to have maybe experienced this. But like, how many times did we as teenagers just fill out like, you know, about us is on like MySpace and shit. Like, teens just like talking about themselves because they want people to know that they exist. Because
I still like talking about myself. The entire Patreon episode was like us doing Marxist analysis and shit I think about. I'm on a podcast. Uh-huh. Nothing's changed.
So for the time being, Frank has paused most of her own side hustles as she settles into her freshman year at Brown.
Ugh. Fucking Ivy League.
What is a podcast if not an extended MySpace about me profile?
Yeah, we literally have like a song at the end where it's just like you click on our page and it's just a JJ Demon song. Just
it auto-plays,
every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it autoplays. Yeah.
It autoplays.
Yeah, no, podcasts are the new social media because it's the only audio is not sufficiently analyzable by algorithms to be able to deliver it effectively to people. And so we get to just talk to people like we've heard of and plus some other people. And then occasionally they just reach out through the ether and tell us about it. And some of the people we know, it's just a great system of like, it is like early social media because it's like, well, we have the people that we know listen to the show who've, you know, been on the show or we've talked to in real life or we've like engaged with on the stream. And there's a bunch more people we don't know who they are, but they're really cool because they listen to us and
the lurkers,
just like
there's
lurkers and it's like an early internet forum and we get to create all the content and we're getting we maybe have never changed actually,
which is just great.
Yeah,
don't change.
Bonkers
never
to think about. Yeah,
never mm-hmm. change.
The more things change, you know what they say, gamers? Yeah.
Yeah, we do like great John Waters like making like gross sex things. And we talk about that and then we post it. We're just audio something awful.
Oh, we're something awful, all right.
Mm-hmm. And we're something awful thanks to you all.
Thanks to viewers like you.
Mm-hmm. I'll do this one too.
Do it. You get this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you made it this far, you're a true comrade. Thanks for sticking around. Shout out to all of our patrons, especially Jorge, the Warlock Phosphorus, Aaron, Alex, Broobs, Caleb, Dylan, Eli, Jack, John, Lizzie, Malwin, Olive, Richard, Rufus, Samantha, Scott, Tim, the brilliant Dr. Fly, Tyler, and the Revered Blonde Gnome. You all keep the show plugging along.
Yeah.
Let us know how you liked our latest Patreon exclusive episode, which we just recorded, and we talked about, Charlie just mentioned it, we talked about trying to interpret things like sex and like love and relationships through Marxism.
Yeah, I wasn't there for most of it, but they were talking about butts.
Yeah, we did talk about licking a butt.
Our extremely preliminary Marxist analysis of sex and kink and love and connection mm-hmm. and... Yeah, it was a serious Patreon episode this week, but
and you definitely want to hear it because like, and I want other people hear it to be like, well, no, that's not like other people have written about this. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, please disagree with us because you're probably right. Honestly.
Oh, I'm sure people have written about it. I can't Google it.
Sylvia Federici, you know, I've read mm-hmm. a book.
Hey,
I could say a name. So if you want to become a patron, you can for $5 a month, and that'll get you in the roll call, the name call. And but you could donate at any level that you want, you know.
Mm-hmm. You get the episodes.
You
know,
you get the dolphins and garages. That's our D&D podcast. You get the Giggo.
We did a live listen to the new episode like a week early, a couple days ago, and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Being just high as a kite.
Bo was high as fuck.
Yeah.
I understood some of what was going on, despite that being a D&D game that I played.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I got to see your face.
Yeah.
On mm-hmm. camera. I haven't seen that before. That's cool.
Hell yeah.
I've only now seen you really, really high.
That's just what I always look like, yeah.
Okay. Enjoyable.
It's like they say, like, you know, when you're going to the DMV, like, get your license taken super stoned. So when you get pulled over, it's like, how can I officer you help? That's what high people sound like. Yeah.
Yep. So you definitely want to check out Dolphins and Garages. It's just a lot of fun to play the game. I had a terrible D&D session today with a terrible DM who was simultaneously overprepared and underprepared.
That 5e can be like that. Yeah.
And was arguing with me about a Genasi, which is basically a genie, and saying that the Genasi had to eat and sleep because, you know, it has to be realistic. But then we were also attacked by, you know, a mountain of bread. So again,
do Genasi have to jack off? Clear out the pipes.
Well, actually, they do. I made sure. So anyway, Artemis does not have such silly arbitrary rules about our fun make-believe place where we pretend to be
silly fantasy creatures. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. so you should listen to that because the stakes are getting high, folks. It's getting high drama. I'm not going to spoil the
episode. I owe some people a lot of money.
Yeah, we're not going to spoil too much, but
you know,
things are getting...
It's unclear to me.
We will figure that out, and I think it's unclear to Artemis. She needs to listen to the episode. Join us, won't you?
Yes.
Won't you?
Mm-hmm. And stick around and listen to a JJ Demon song at the end of this show.
There yeah, I assume go. We'll stick one in.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
we'll see.
That's it for us, folks. See you next time in the garage. Bye.
So long, everyone.
Laters. Propaganda.
you're the ones that go through body armor. Hit up the homies, I got a body for them. Hoodied up like a ramen, give us some omnivores. I was fucking with mommy, she was a mama's boy. I was riding in Johnny, she wasn't riding for. Yeah, they know I'm a commie, that's what they owe me for. What the fuck you think I brought an army for? Watch how I'm moving this wood, it's holy Moses.
Holy Moses.
Tell him the crooked is back in the scoliosis.
Scoliosis.
I remember you back in the day, you were always soaking.
Wah, wah.
But me, I was in the trap, Macaulay Culkin. You be kicking the bucket, I come with the mob, you get mopped up. I will kick up a ruckus, I'm up in the spot till the cops come. You be thinking like, fuck it, I'm staying on, what if he pops
if
up? Then I shoot at your building, ha, wake up your pops up. My gun got a body on it. My gun got a body on it. We're in the building like the lobby's haunted. I came to see if anybody want it. My rap sheet got two robbers, got two robberies on. My body got your property, got your property on. My rap sheet got two robbers, got two robberies on. My body got your property, got your property on. My gun's got a body on it. Heard you were telling and now my gun's got two bodies on it. Send them to the Bahamas cause of the way that I'm popping the Tommy gun.
Oh no!
I bought a pistol cause I don't know how to do any karate for him. Yeah, I get fly, my mullet it go bloom. Are you even allowed at the table or whatever label your soul was sold to? You ain't able to grip what I'm saying, and how are you able to hold your cold brew? A fatal blow to the old you. Will he be able to pull through? I'm a Philly and maybe we roll through. You don't wanna see the old me. The fighting is fucking, this trigger, this struggle, this shooting, this rugged, this dope fiend. I'm lighting it up without thinking it back at the link, and I do you like Lincoln. I had to stay Saturday, to stay medicated, where I dedicated all the proceeds. I'm from the West End.
Mm-hmm.
Come around, think you get greater, and we'll leave you less than.
Mm-hmm.
Putting everything on black, that is your best bet.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you get caught slipping, it's with your family, you'll be dressed in. Yes, man.
Yes, man.
My gun's got a body on it.
Body on.
My gun's got a body on it.
Body on.
We're in the building like the lobby's haunted.
Like
I came to see if anybody, anybody on it. My rap, she got two robbers, got two robbers on. My body got your property, got your property. She got two robbers, got two robbers. My body got your property, got your property. Got your. I got a body gun. I got a body gun. I got a body gun. I'm about to body some. I got a body gun. I got a body gun. I got a body gun. I'm about to body some.
Fuck my dick.